Hello, everybody. This is Bill Knauer, and you're listening to Author to Author, where we talk about writing and life. Life, people, because what it takes to write the book you want to write is what it takes to lead the life you want to lead. It's true. Author to Author is brought to you by Author Magazine, the premier free writing magazine on the internet, featuring articles on writing and the writing life, as well as video interviews with best-selling and award-winning authors across the genres. We've got a new issue up now, my conversation with Michael Bianco Splon, who author of Conscious Leadership. And oh, what a great conversation I had with him about that, conscious leadership, about the role of service in business and life, really. It's just a fascinating conversation. He's a fascinating guy. I recommend you check it out at authormagazine.org. And we're funded by the wonderful Pacific Northwest Writers Association, who've been helping writers from pen to publications since 1955, if you can believe it. It's true. Since 1955. You can learn more about the PNWA at pnwa.org. They have a great writers' conference every year. I'll be teaching fearless writing there, a master class in fearless writing. Speaking of fearless writing, I'm going to be doing a one-day fearless writing workshop in Seattle on April 15th, tax day. So if you got your taxes done and you want to build up your writing spirit, I will be teaching a one-day class. You can sign up for it at williamknauer.com. There's a link right there on the homepage. Can't miss it. Speaking of fearlessness, today's guest, perfect segue from that, Ann Tucker, is a motivational speaker, teacher, lecturer, coach. She's addressed audiences around the world on the topics of leadership, personal transformation, decision-making, very important, people, decision-making, and the psychology of doubt. Always a writer's companion, I've noticed. She's the founder of Wisdom Soup, an online social learning community that speeds up serendipity by connecting people with similar interests in spirituality and personal growth. And today we're going to talk about, among other things, her book, Undoubtedly Awesome, Your Own Personal Roadmap from Doubt to Flow. Anne, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
Well, it's good to have you on the show, Anne, and I'll tell you part of the reason, one of the many reasons I wanted to have you on the show, I was thumbing through your book when it came onto my desk, and you talk about early on in the book something near and dear to my heart, which is that all human beings kind of know how to do, whether they believe it or not or understand it or not, is create. Like, that's what yeah. we do. And the question, which you pose early on, is, are we going to do it on purpose? Or are we going to do it habitually and accidentally? And you advocate yeah. on purpose. So talk to me about that a little, if you could.
Yeah. Yeah, you bet. Yeah, it is. I think I say it in the book that most people have probably heard the phrase that thoughts become things.
Yeah. yeah.
Right? And yeah. it's that idea that your thoughts have this incredible creative power. But if we're distracted in a bunch of different directions, if you're kind of half writing a book and you're half working at a job and you're half taking care of your kids and you're half doing a bunch of different things, or maybe you're working on multiple, you're a painter and a writer and a jewelry maker, you've got your thoughts are all distributed all over the place. And you can end up not getting very much progress in your life, right? It's all of that energy that you have that goes behind your thinking. It gets dissipated and just goes in all these different directions, and it's hard to create any sustained momentum. And the difference is when you recognize that it is actually those thoughts, that is your creative power, when you can focus it in the same way that, like with a laser, how that prism in the middle focuses the light and turns it into a laser beam, right? You need to be able to focus all that creative power, and decisions are the tool that does it. It's through your decisions are at the beginning of everything you do. They determine what comes next. So when you yeah. use a decision to focus your energy and get you focused, going all of your energy is going in the same direction, imagine how much more productive you can be.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard that described so many different ways. I love what you're saying. And there's a sense of, like, you have, like, two horses, you know. You have a cart, but one horse is going towards one direction and another one is going another direction. And a lot
yeah.
of times I think we lead our life with – I mean, there's, like, one horse is probably stronger than the other, and so you're generally
yeah.
going to go in the direction you want, but the other one's going to
mm-hmm.
keep pulling. And that other horse often, I assume, is the horse of doubt. Right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
doesn't that pull on – and what I loved about your book is you wrote – and I think this is something that every sort of, I'm going to loosely call you self-help, if you don't mind. That's generally
sure,
what you would be shelved under. But you talk about your own struggles with it. I think it's very important when this is a message to all you potential self-help writers out there. Include your own suffering. It's very helpful. And you talk openly about your own wrestling with your own doubt and how you have to deal with it. And, of course, a lot of your work has been helping other people with doubt. Can you talk a little bit about that pressure doubt plays on our lives and our decisions?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you get to that idea of you know, what you're trying to create in the world, a lot of us end up taking sort of two steps forward, one step back, or worst case, one step forward, two steps back, right? Because of that experience of doubt that maybe you make a choice, but then as soon as you've made it, you start wondering if you made the right choice, and you spend half your time searching around for something better. And all of that energy that you're spending is taking away from the momentum of the choice that you actually made. And the thing that was really interesting to me is that a lot of us get really hung up when we're picking something, whatever it is. It could be something small, could be something really big, could be your morning muffin, could be your career, right? And people think that there's one best option, and that they end up just torturing themselves because they pick something, and then they sit there and sweat. Did I pick the right one? Was it the one?
Yeah.
You know, did I make the right choice? And what's really fascinating is that in almost every choice you make, there's going to be more than one right choice. There's going to be several choices that would probably work out great. They're all going to have different strengths and weaknesses. But what makes the difference about whether or not your choice is really great is going to be how you made it, is how committed you are to that choice.
How you made it.
Yeah, the actual
process.
It's the process that you use to make decisions. It's a funny thing because everybody thinks, oh, I make decisions like everybody else, right? We all make them the same way. Super
no,
not true.
No.
And the specific process that you use, so your process is different from mine, and the specific process that you use is perfect for you. It meets your specific creative needs for the way that you want to express yourself in the world. But that process that you use can open you up to doubt. And so the specific strengths that you have, they are balanced out by weaknesses, and those weaknesses bring in doubt. And it is the process that you use that determines whether or not you feel doubt in that decision that you make. It depends on how you actually – so it has a lot less to do with the thing you choose and a whole lot more to do with how you choose it.
You know, it's what it reminds me of – so I coach writers a lot, and it's part of what I teach. And one of the things you have to learn when you're writing a book-length project for the first time, and this is that – And once you've done this, once you've written a few book-length projects, you go through this less. But one thing an experienced writer knows is you know what you are supposed to know and what you don't have to know. And so the experienced writer knows that there's a lot of stuff they don't know when they start a book, but they don't worry about it because they know it fills itself in as they go. But the inexperienced writer gets very worried often about the stuff that they realize they don't know as they start the book for the first time, and they worry about all that they don't know. And I spend a lot of time coaching them that it will come. Your job is not to know everything, and but you can't know it until you've done it and learned how the creative process fills in all the details, and you only need the big understanding to start with. The rest will take care of itself.
Very true. You know what's funny about that?
You must have gone through that writing this book.
Oh, sure. Well, but see, here's a funny thing about it is that people who experience that are going. Some people are going to be more prone to experience that than others, depending on what I call your soul type. It's one of the things I talk about in the book.
Yeah.
Is the different ways that we each make decisions. So the people who are more tortured on the front end of the decision, who are really wanting that kind of long plan, they want to know each step they're taking and how they're going to get there, and they want to have it all planned out before they start.
Yeah.
That is a specific that belongs to a specific soul type, which is not yours. For you, it's really easy to say, hey, don't do that. You gotta just go with it and trust that it's going to fill in, and that's going to come very easily for you. But for another soul type, they're going to have to come up with a different coping strategy.
Well, they're what they call outliners.
They really want that plan.
So they have to outline their book.
There's
certain people who just have to outline it. But even then, I don't care. Even if you outline, you're going to be surprised. It's still going to happen.
Yeah, right. And I think it's a better book if you let that happen, you know. You have to be open to what you discover on the path.
But don't you think it's also true, though, that one of my favorite teachers says you can't get it wrong and you don't get it done. I love her. And I think she's right in that, like, some people have to take heroin to learn not to take heroin. Like, that's the only way. That's the only way they're really going to get, like, that it doesn't work. That to some degree you have – that some way the only way to understand something is to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it finally hits home why that won't work for you. Or some people, they don't need to have the experience to know. So in that way, even the mistakes become the right choice in a different way.
Right.
Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah, very true. Yeah, it does, for sure. Yeah. No, some of us want it needs to be a very personal. We trust our own judgment more than, you know, as other people are really comfortable learning from books and saying, oh, this is the way to do it. I'm going to do it that way. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you were an executive coaching. Is that what you where your career started? Sort of.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Executive coaching.
Last 10 years or so. Yeah.
And what were you coaching these executives on? What kind of coaching would you give them? Was it the stuff that's in this book, or was it more technical and businessy?
Yeah, no, it was specifically, so we were leadership coaches, or I was a leadership coach. I've just stepped away in the last couple of months, but so it would be a lot of the material all the material that's from this book developed out of that practice. So I've used this material in terms of how, you know, how people make decisions and understanding their soul type.
Oh, you still there?
Just
dropped out. You're back.
Oh,
okay.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Hear me?
Yeah. So you used the same. You helped them with finding their. So would you use soul type? Would you use that language in?
No.
I didn't. I wouldn't think so.
No, I called it decision style.
Oh, I love it. Okay.
But we know what I was talking about.
Yeah, okay. But were they open to it? They must have been open to
it. Very. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No, it was, I got to tell you, it was really fun because, like I said, most people in a work context, people assume that other people think the same way that they do. And it's because, you know, that's how emotional empathy develops. Is we start with ourselves as our first best model. And, you know, I remember one time I was working with this team. There was these two guys that were just mortal enemies. You know, they had to work together, and they just hated each other. And, you know, and one of my jobs was to try to make these guys get along because they were both critical to the product that was rolling out. And I talked to each of them individually, and the first guy says, Bill is just – he doesn't tell me anything. He's a terrible communicator. He's, he's deliberately shutting me out and not sharing any of his plans with me. And just this whole litany of how terrible this guy was. And then I turn around and talk to the other guy, and he says, oh yeah, Sam is a total micromanager, and he's always bugging me, and he doesn't trust me, and he never wants to get, you know, I want to get rolling. He's blocking me at every step. He's deliberately blocking me. You know, so they just have this perception of each other. And what's fascinating is when I got them together and explained to them, okay, first of all, you know, Bill is not a poor communicator. The difference is that Bill doesn't have a plan. It's not that he's not sharing his plan with you. He doesn't work that way. He doesn't develop a 6-month plan. You know, he's an adaptive decision maker. He does it on the fly. And then Yang said to the other guy, this guy is not blocking you. This is how he thinks. You know, he wants to work through the problem, and he's going to use him for mitigation, use him for his planning ability. Once they understood each other, it was amazing. At the end, they actually hugged. These two guys hugged that had been at each other's throats. Yeah.
Wow. How satisfying.
Yeah, for real. For real.
You know, it's funny.
It's amazing in that context.
So my wife, I adore her. She's my best friend. We've been married for 25 years this summer. But a few years ago, we took a trip with my son down to San Diego, and this was a big deal. My son had never gone there, and it was a lot going on. There was a lot to sort of figure out what to do with our time while we were there, because we were there for these one event, but there was going to be a lot of open time. And she set to planning this experience, and she really wanted my participation, and it was like I couldn't do it. And we got into a huge row about this because for her, she was looking at like going, it was like trying to go to war without a plan, you know? And so we were in the middle of this, just really at each other's throat. And all of a sudden it hit me. So I never outline. I can't do it. And she had written a 5,000 word children's book and she had outlined it. And I thought, oh God, she's an outliner. Of course. And
yes.
I thought she's trying to outline this experience. And so and all of a sudden it made sense to me what was happening, why she was so upset with me and why I couldn't do it because I just show up. And that solved my end of the problem. And I changed my reaction. It just made no sense to me. Why would you want to plan this? I don't know how to do it.
Now it is an amazing thing.
It is.
Go ahead.
But you have to understand what's going on. And so you also talk about a word that I use all the time now, and I've seen it more and more. I just read another piece about it in the New York Times, of all things, about the flow. The flow. As woo-woo a word as it gets, but, man, I still think it's the best word for what you're looking for. And tell me this. If anybody's ever heard me on the show, they've heard me talk about it. But I want to hear you talk about it. But I also want to know where you first began to understand it personally, both what it is and how you kind of found it and understood that it was a thing.
You know, it's interesting. There's, you know, the opposite of flow is resistance, right? When you have something that is – where you're experiencing where it's difficult to make things happen, where you feel like things are working against you and you have to fight really hard to make things happen. And it's interesting, when I first started writing this book, you know, I was nervous because all of my clients were, you know, and not only was I a leadership coach with executives, but I was mostly in technology and med tech. So I was really, you know, I felt like I really needed to stay within this corporate identity, very safe, non-threatening corporate identity. My first couple chapters I wrote of the book, I wrote in sort of my corporate speak. And it was talk about resistance, right? It was terrible. Like, it was so dry. And I put myself to sleep. It was so bad. And that's resistance, is when it's just, you're just fighting for it. And every little bit is just, you know, nothing is happening easily. You feel like as you're driving, you're hitting every red light. And once I relaxed and I went at it again and started writing it like I was talking to a friend, and I wrote it the way I really wanted to write it, like a conversation, like I was talking to someone that I knew that I liked a lot. And all of a sudden it just came, and stories just came, and it was easy, and it was amazing. As I was working on it, the exact piece of information I needed to support what I was writing about would show up just when I needed it, you know?
Yeah.
And it would
That's
be on the radio, and it would be an expert came on that was talking about the exact subject I was thinking about. It just, everything was like the universe was conspiring to help me along my way. And that flow, and it's fantastic. It makes it, not only does it make everything easier, but it makes it a lot more fun.
Yes, I was just seeing, do you know who Martha Beck is?
Yeah.
Are you familiar with Martha Beck?
She's a great writer.
She's a wonderful author and life coach, and I like her work, and I saw a little thing she did on Facebook, of all things, and she said something interesting on it. She said, you know, I realized recently, Martha Beck said, that all the things I've strived for and really wanted and like decided I needed never quite worked out. But everything that came really easily to me and just was just the most natural and sort of effortless thing to do has led to the most success. And so she made this decision that she was going to stop trying to force one idea of what her life and career should be and just follow the easiest path. And I think that is absolutely true, that you're seeking the flow is the most effortless path through life.
Yeah. How can you just allow? And it doesn't mean don't work. You know what I mean? It doesn't mean that you don't have to put energy into it, because you do. But it is that energy meeting with resistance, or are you doing it in joy? How do you feel about
That's right.
it? Right.
You know. And you know how I look at it now is when I sit down to write, and I try to apply this. It's easier for me in writing than in the rest of my life because it's such a contained experience, and I'm alone, which makes it easier, of course. But is I'm learning to tell the difference, like when I'm putting words down, between an effort and effortlessness. It's learning the difference, just like finding your balance between the feeling of imbalance and balance. This, you're trying to find the finer and finer difference. And when you make choices in your life, is there effort or is it effortless? And you start to have to care about that difference and understand it means something, you know?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And I think it's interesting in terms of how to get into that mind space. It's going to be, each of us is going to be more susceptible to doubt, which is going to take you out of that mind space, depending on that process that we use. So,
yeah.
You know, so someone who's an outliner is going to have more difficulty with that feeling of flow on the front end of the decision, right? But
okay.
Somebody who's capable just jumping in, more like you might be, is going
yeah.
to be more, have more, the more likelihood that you're going to experience that resistance on the back end after you've made it.
That's
decision.
Exactly right. Go!
Mm-hmm.
That's what I've just done today. This thing
yeah.
is pretty much
yeah.
finished. Time to send it to my agent, and I am got so much doubt around this piece, and I love it.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
But writing it, I was just bopping along. Go, man, it's miserable. That's exactly what I'm going through right now, Ann. You called
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it has everything to do with our process. It has everything to do
all
with
right, so
the process
me.
That you use.
Coach me.
Okay.
Help me. Help me. So I'm sorry to cut you off, but I'm going to get free help
yeah.
here. So that's what I do. I'm going through it right now. It's been kind of dry. It kept me up last night. I couldn't sleep. Oh, it's just,
yeah.
It doesn't happen to me very often, but every once in a while it does.
Yeah.
So what would you say to me? So I'm how do I deal with that moment? Because I know what's going on. I'm like, I know it's baloney, but there it is, and it feels so real. So what
yeah.
would you say to me?
So, and the state that you're in right now is you've finished it and you sent it off and you're having second thoughts?
I'm getting ready to send it off. You know, I'm kind of sitting there.
Okay,
like,
okay.
They want to go noodle it some more because now I'm in that place. Okay, so that's where I am.
Okay,
I have all these
okay.
doubts about it all of a sudden that I didn't have a week ago.
Yes, yes, okay. So let's first go through and talk about, because this is important to you specifically, is that I would give different suggestions to different people depending
sure.
on their soul type. So
yep.
your soul type is what we call the expressive soul type. And do you mind if I
right.
explain a little bit about what that is?
No, please do.
So, okay. So expressive soul type means that you are essentially an amazing voice, so able to express this feelings and the thoughts that the rest of us have, but we're not even aware of. So you're able to create a commonality, a common belief or a common mission that we can all buy into. You can make sense of the hard work or the struggle that other people make by giving us that narrative. So you're going to be particularly gifted with metaphor, with stories. It's that ability to persuade and influence others. So it plays an important role, obviously, in society in general, but you can imagine in the work environment, in a family environment. It's
and if you're a writer,
that,
for instance.
Yes, a writer, a radio host. Exactly,
yeah.
exactly. So, and the thing that gives you that particular gift, and here's what's amazing, is that your gift is directly linked to the way that you make decisions, to your process. Your process enables your gift enables your process. Right? It's hard to say which
okay.
one comes
yep.
first, chicken and egg.
Sure.
So your
yep.
your particular process comes about because you have a really direct connection with your emotions. And emotions
yeah.
are what actually
yeah.
makes decisions, right? Deciding with your gut. If that's what
yeah.
that's what chooses. So our heads is all the logical thinking, but the heart is what chooses. So
my head is
and
useless.
You have a yeah, just forget the head. You don't need
I've
that.
Learned to ignore it if I can.
Exactly. Exactly. So, and you have this really, really strong connection, which means that you will have a point of view faster than anybody else. So you'll be a really, really quick decision maker. You'll know what you think and feel very, very fast. If you're ever in a meeting, you're going to be the first one to speak up, and you're going to speak it really persuasively, whatever your opinion is, because you get in touch with the feeling of why it's important, with the drama behind whatever opinion you have. So you're able to get right to what's going to really resonate for people. So that fastness, that speed, some people might call it impulsiveness. That and impulsiveness gets a bad rap, right? Like people think
yeah.
impulsive means you're going to be like blurting out in class or whatever if you're a little kid, but it actually does enable you to have this very persuasive ability. It makes you faster on your feet. You're a faster thinker. You know, you'd be a great debate guy because you'd be able to speak really, really quickly. So
right.
it's actually an
cuff,
amazing
yeah.
strength. Yeah, totally. But the downside to that is that because you're so emotion-based, that emotions are not as sensitive to time, that they live
yeah.
in a sort of eternal now. So
yeah.
with your emotions, whatever you feel right this moment, you might feel like it's going to be that way forever. And you get locked into this feeling of like, if I'm feeling bummed
so
right this
true.
Moment, Yes. I'm going to be bummed forever.
Right.
And which we know isn't true. Like if you you come home after a long day and you plop on the sofa and you're exhausted, but you have to go to a party, you're like, oh my God, I can't imagine getting up and going to the party.
Right.
But once you get up and go, you have an amazing time and you can't imagine being home sitting on your sofa. And, you know, that's that sense of that eternal now, is that what your emotions, whatever you feel right now, you can't imagine feeling any different.
It's not going to change.
So, yeah. So for you, as you're making decisions, you will think or feel when you're making it, I've got plenty of resources, plenty of time. I'm free right this minute. I'm not doing anything. Sure, I can commit to that. Sure, I've got time. If I've got time right this second, that means I'm going to have plenty of time a week from now to do these five different things that I'm actually overcommitting this hour five times.
Right.
And so that's where your ambiguity can creep in, is that not necessarily connecting the what you might be committing to or what you might be doing to what that might feel like in the future. So it can creep in and start to, and now that you've written it and you're getting ready to send your article off or your paper off, that you might start thinking, huh, did I really think it through all the way? Did I really, this is the moment where all the things that you're
doing. Because I'm not in the
momentum
of it anymore.
Exactly.
And the thing I trust is the emotional now. And I'm out of it because the piece is, like, you know, where I was happiest, I would write these columns once a day. So I'd write it, boom, it's gone. Write it, it's gone. It's gone. On to the next thing, on to the next thing. So I didn't have any time to sit and dwell on it. I think you're right.
Exactly.
So I don't trust it because I'm not in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm. And once you step away from it, you lose that feeling of momentum.
Yeah.
It's really the momentum that's so critical for you, is feeling like you're keeping that emotional feeling fresh. So the key is if you have to wait, if it's not something that you can do over time, is to try to come up with a coping strategy that allows you, you know, rather than being like sort of the toggle switch of on, off. I mean, if you're on 100% with my momentum or I'm off, I don't want to do it anymore. You got to come up with I used to play tennis, and I was not a particularly good player, but my strategy was, rather than going for the trick shot, rather than doing the big lob or the corner shot, I would just hit the ball over the net, and I would just keep hitting it over and over again. I didn't even know where the ball was going. I just tried to get it over the net. And a lot of times I would win because I would do that, because it was just staying in the game, if you can just outlast.
Yeah.
So what can you do when you've done something like this to just keep your head in the game? And
well, you know what's helpful
for
me? You know what would be helpful for me? Just having had this conversation, what's helpful for me is to recognize what is happening. That's one of the things I've had to work with myself with and my clients around writing, which is when you feel a certain way, it's in the writing process. When you feel a certain despair or a certain resistance, to understand what that feeling means, not to make a big deal of it. One of my challenges is to tell a big story about how I feel. And so if I can, and this has been very helpful talking to you, because now if I can be conscious of what is happening, it can change very quickly. It's when I feed the momentum of despair almost for the sake of just getting some kind of momentum going, I don't care what, and next thing I know, I'm running down. So just the awareness is very helpful. So this was very helpful, Anne.
Good.
Thank you so
much. I'm glad to hear it. You're very welcome.
See that, people? Now listen, do you see how helpful that was? You buy her book, you'll get that too. And maybe you can work with her if you're in Seattle. Do you work with people one-on-one like this? You must.
I don't do individual coaching anymore, but I'm focusing my efforts on Wisdom Soup. So, which is actually going to be really fun. Wisdom Soup is a way to speed up serendipity to help someone who's interested in having a year of sort of really accelerated personal growth. It leads them through a five-step process over a 12-month period. So it's basically step-by-step going with different teachers. So it's, you know how when you're going on this path and it's sort of like you're wanting to get involved, but it's really hard to know where to start. You spend a lot of time and energy trying to figure out what to study or who to study with, and you'll pick up a book and read a chapter and pick up another book. And it's like that I was talking about focusing your energy. How do you focus your energy to get the maximum result? So Wisdom Soup lays out a plan.
Wisdom Soup, and it's wisdomsoup.com?
Yeah, wisdomsoup.com, and we're going to open up enrollment in just a couple weeks here. And it it lays it out for you so that you can focus on what you're doing as opposed to trying to figure out, you know, basically how to do it. It lays it out.
And so it will connect people to the types of teachers and coaches they need in order to do the thing they're doing?
Exactly, month by month. So there's different topics in each month, and they're designed to be progressive. So the first month leads you into the next month. So you start out with, you know, with energy healing, writing your intentions, and we move into belief work, and then we move into each month is setting you up, telling you what work you need to do this month to set you up for the next month, which is going to set you up for the next month. And by the end, we're focusing in on connecting to your intuition. So it really does build over the course of a year.
Well,
it's pretty
awesome.
Exciting.
Okay, so it's wisdomsoup.com, and you'll be taking enrollment in a couple of weeks, you said?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, a couple of weeks.
Excellent. Well, that's what a fabulous note to end on. And this has been a delight. You sound
Thank
like you're doing
you.
Some
you
great work. You've got a very Thanks. Helpful, and it's a fun, fast, easy read, people, if you want to check it out. It's undoubtedly awesome. Your own personal roadmap from doubt to flow is the best place to get it. Like on Amazon, what's the best place to get it?
Amazon, or if they want to go to undoubtedlyawesome.com, there is a free survey they can take, which will tell them their soul type and give them some information about it that's different from what's in the book.
Oh, awesome. So that's yeah. undoubtedly – so we're in that. What is the yeah. website for that?
Undoubtedlyawesome.com. And the survey is
okay.
only three questions, if you can imagine. But
oh,
it works like
okay.
hot darn. You got to try it.
Okay. I knew right away who I was, but maybe I should get some more information. Okay. Well, Anne, like I said, this has been great. Thank you. Thank you for the help. It's very useful. Very useful
great,
indeed.
I'm glad.
And, and good luck with Wisdom Soup. It sounds awesome.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. It was great talking with you.
All right. Great talking to you. Take it easy, Anne.
Thanks. You too.
Bye-bye. Oh, that was good. That was good, people. Hey, listen, we're going to be speaking of coaching. I'm going to be doing Fearless Writing next week on this show. Back for another round of excellent questions. If you've got questions about the emotional side of writing, the spiritual side of writing, send them to me at bill@authormagazine.org, bill@authormagazine.org, and I will try to answer them on air, or you can call in 661-449-9357. In the meantime, just don't worry. Get into the flow however you can. Follow the thing you love, and you really can't go wrong, I promise you. All right, everybody, I'll see you next week.